Yeah, baby, Broken Tail Dog, Josh Ricardo here with my co-host Lux Suicide. We are in it to win it. So that's it.
I love that song.
What's up, Luxie?
Love that song. Good choice.
I told you I'd pick a good song.
You did.
I'm a master at creating the mood, the tone. They call me the tone setter.
Do they? I've never heard anyone call you that.
Tone setter, the hammerhead, Josh the handsome face. They call me a lot of names. But you are allowed to call me Joshy.
Joshy. I love Joshy.
All right. We're here.
We're queer.
We're doing it. Yeah, you are queer. Well, you're bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
You have some bisexualities. There's bisexualities involved here, ladies and gentlemen. Bisexualities. Yeah, you ever seen Friday where he's like, there's principalities. Messing with my money's like messing with my emotions, Smokey. There's principalities in this. For you, Luxie, it's there's bisexualities in this.
Oh,
so I do all the work for the show. Lux literally just shows up in her pajamas, as you
all can
see.
That's what I do. I show up in PJs. Jesus PJs.
So you guys can follow the show, by the way, at Broken Tailed on Instagram, as well as Twitter. And you can also email the show, brokentailed@gmail.com, and we will read your emails on the air. So everyone watching our live stream off of Lux's Instagram, which is at, it's at Lux Suicide, right?
It is.
Go there. Watch it live now.
This
is coming out later, so I'm being an idiot. Bottom line is this. Follow the shit. Subscribe on iTunes. Subscribe on SoundCloud. Subscribe on Podomatic.
Subscribe.
Subscribe and you know, whatever. Rate it 5. Like we're an Uber driver that did you right. Rate it 5. 5. Anyways, so I do all the work for the show. I do everything. Okay? Lux has the audacity to send me an email last night. Audacity would be the keyword. So I go, hey, see the agenda below. Because I'm working 5 jobs here. So see the agenda below. I'm also producing the show, which I don't mind because that's what I do. And she goes, by the way, one of the links was a repeat. Well, fuck. Look it up. Why don't you look it up?
But I want to know if it was a specific thing that I needed to find.
You're right. You're not wrong. You're not
you
wrong.
Know? And it was about R. Kelly. I wanted to know. I was like, oh, God, what did he do
now? We're
going
to talk about that later in the show. We're going to talk about R. Kelly, which is interesting.
It's all interesting. It's all good stuff today.
To say the least. why did you ask me about if you should tell your partner how many people they've slept with?
Oh, because I hear this mostly from my younger friends. I hear this a lot. Oh, you know, my boyfriend just asked me how many people I've slept with, or this girl asked me how many people I've slept with. Girls ask more than guys.
Why do they care?
I don't know, but people care.
I love the
I
fuck.
I don't care.
I love the fuck.
And maybe if I was like 20, I would care.
All I care about is if you're reliable. Yeah. And honestly, I'm not a jealous person. I'm just not. So I just care about if you are reliable in the sense of like we've made whatever the parameters of the relationship that we've set together,
right,
that you can at least abide by those. Because I'm a very dysfunctional person, so I understand dysfunction very well. Mm-hmm. So when I'm dealing with people that I know can't contain themselves, I mean, there's been tons of women I've dated where I know for a fact they put them in a room where some guy's giving them attention. They're probably going to make a move because
right.
They like that kind of – they like that.
They
can't,
like that.
Their ego cannot sustain not taking advantage because I have that kind of ego. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would never put those people in positions to fail. I think a big issue is that people do not know how to read a partner.
Right.
And they think by asking how many people they've slept with, they go, well, then I'll have an idea. No, you won't.
Right.
I don't even know how many I've slept
with.
It's
a double-edged sword asking the question.
It totally is.
Because if it's, you know, 3 people, it's like, well, all right, so now you're just really inexperienced. If you're my age, if you're 32 and you tell me you've slept with 3 people, I'm like, ooh.
I'm still
going
to put it in
your butt.
This
is going
to
get super clingy
still
and
gonna
weird.
Put it in your butt.
You might be a really experienced person who's only slept with 3 people.
But it's going to be hard for you to move along.
You could also sleep with 100 people and be awful in bed.
Totally awful.
You could be. But
totally
it doesn't
awful.
Make you slutty. It means that you've just slept with more people.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
So I'm 36. I've done some damage. I'm not going to say how many people I've slept with. Actually, no. I'm a gentleman. I don't count.
I don't either.
If you had a guess, how many people do you think I've slept with? She's gonna lowball me because she really dislikes me.
No, I was
she
gonna
doesn't
say
think I'm desirable at all.
I was gonna say like a lot.
Like how many?
60.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I feel like maybe.
I'm way over that. How many people have you slept with?
Oh God, I lost count.
More than
60? But not a lot. No, definitely not.
40?
Lower.
How many women?
A lot.
And you're counting those in that.
A lot of yeah, a lot of women.
Can you even?
You know why? Because it was so easy. It was like, hey, we're all out and let's go to the bathroom. It was like so easy to sleep with a lot of women.
Well, do you hang out with girls that? It's like. How am I?
A lot of it was just for fun.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, you hang out with a lot of girls that are, like, not necessarily bi, but like to have fun with you. And so they'll just go in and fuck you, and then that'll be it.
Well, I could say that I used to.
Yeah.
More of my friends now are settling down, getting married. You know, I've been that
chicks were hot, huh? That used to hang out with.
Absolutely. I used to go-go, and I used to go-go in lesbian clubs and swinger parties.
Why can't I go-go in lesbian clubs?
I mean, you can.
I don't want to flip this.
Why not? You're allowed to identify as whatever you want.
There are bisexualities involved here.
You're identifying as a lesbian go-go dancer, and I support
identify.
It.
I personally identify as a lesbian go-go dancer, and if you can't accept that, then I'm going to have to protest and start a hashtag.
I identify as a rich bitch.
Sure. That's funny. You have to prove that. At least I can prove I'm lesbian. Put a pussy in front of me. I'll show you. I'll show you how lesbian I am. A magical lesbian. I might be one of the best.
I support you, Joshy.
Yeah, great.
But no, I guess my number is... I kind of thought my number was probably on the high end, but I guess if you're saying 60 isn't a lot, then my number is pretty low.
I think I might fuck 60 people in a month 1 year.
My number is really low,
I used to
then.
Have a big problem. I had a lot of problems. Oh, Joshy Grotto had a lot of problems. So Lux and I hung out last weekend. She was... You know, I waver with you. Some moments I'm like, God, I really love being around Lux. And other moments I'm like, why do I always feel like it's a chore for her to be here? And I realize it's because of her nature. She's a very just...
cold and distant?
Well, I don't know. I don't want to keep calling you cold because I don't think you are. I think you're a really good person and you're a hard worker and I really enjoy you. I think as a party person,
uh-huh.
I don't think you look at me that way. And there is a... I need to let off steam constantly. This is my big thing.
Okay.
I work so much that right. Even when I'm out with someone I want to have fun with. I mean, and you're slowly but surely, I'm putting you in the department of no fun. So I'm not going to, but until I get to that full point where uh-huh. I put you in that department of like, okay, that's what she does. When I'm out with you, I'm like, let's fucking brutalize people. Let's go out here and let's out fuck, out party, out talk, out shit talk, out wit everybody. Like,
see,
I want to take over the world.
I don't party like that anymore.
I'm saying from a mental perspective.
I work
not
a lot, so when
drugs.
I'm not working, I want to like be home. I want to be like a homebody.
So do I, but
when
I have to be
working,
out.
I'm not working, I don't want to like be out partying. Because my life
you came
is
to
be
my,
out.
You came to
partying.
My work.
Yeah,
so
that
I'm
was
working.
Fun.
That's
was
what
fun.
I mean. So I'm in work mode, and that's part of my work mode. Lighting shit on fire. I'm not even saying coke or crazy shit or LSD and run around the street naked. I said that for other people.
That would be fun,
talk about
though.
Bonding. So you—that's my problem.
We were bonding.
There is. We are. Anyway. Oh my God. So that's my point, though. Is uh-huh. other people get the more fun Lux. I never get the supreme fun Lux.
I don't know. I feel like they earned it. They earned it. You have to
I
spend more.
It.
Not yet.
How so?
Not yet. No. No.
What?
I go out and get
an
crazy.
Earn.
You know what? I go out and get crazy mostly with my girlfriends.
What
about
me?
Those
you're
are
gonna,
the ones that I go out. Nope, it's a girl thing.
I might
thing.
As well be your girlfriend.
It's girl
how platonic
night.
This is. I might as well have a fucking
but
Ken
it's
Dick.
Different when it's girl night.
Oh, God.
I turn up on girl night.
That's not fair.
I know. Well, life's not fair.
Well, fuck that shit. I make my own luck, and that's not fair, and I'm going to figure that out. I'll fire you.
Thanks.
You're out. Fucking out, man. You pajama-wearing motherfucker. We did shoot a pretty cool thing with my boy, Rob McCaskill. Rob's a really accomplished, not only acting coach, but actor and writer and director himself. He's worked on numerous projects with really well-known people. I'm not going to name drop because that's cheesy. But we did shoot something that was an idea of his that's going to be coming out in a special platform I created that Lux and I are partnering up on. Lux and I are doing a lot of stuff, which is why I have so many complaints, because I'm attaching so many things to Lux that I know I have to be around her a lot, and it's going to be annoying. It's going to be annoying if I don't get somewhat in my way. We're going to find some concessions here before the day's over with, because if we don't, Josh is going to be an angry boy.
Josh is a needy boy.
Needy, yes.
Josh is a very needy boy.
In a very sweet and nice way. You want to nurture me. You want to hold me. I have the eyes of a child.
I want to kick you.
I have the eyes of an innocent child. I have the eyes of an innocent babe.
Oh, my God.
So, moving right along.
I'm going to segue into this from that.
Yeah. I have to air my grievances every episode at the top, or I don't feel like I'm doing my job. So, with all this sexual assault stuff, I feel like everyone now is expressing themselves about how they've been assaulted. And I'm getting the impression every woman that ever existed has been either sexually harassed or assaulted. So that means we probably have a huge flaw in the system.
That's accurate.
We have a huge flaw in the system here where it's going to get to a point where no one's going to hit on you women. You know that, right? I mean, millennial men were already soft to begin with.
And now they're
really not going to hit on you because now everyone's trying to be the most sensitive. See, men, the average man is dumb enough to think if they follow the trend, like it's the guys that post the shirtless selfie or say the things they think women want to hear. Women, in my opinion, and I've been successful, so I feel like I have some angle here and leverage to say this because I understand what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But some women, specifically women that are out there dating, women that are on Tinder, Bumble, whatever else you use, they put out there what they think is what they're supposed to say. They may even feel that. Like they may, I want a guy who's funny and who's this and who's that and who's that. But in reality, you probably want a guy that has a spine. And the more and more we relearn how to interact between each other, heterosexually I'm speaking, because that's the only thing I can relate to and I don't want to talk on any other level that I don't have experience with. The more and more we start cutting away what is the norm, if you're a New York City woman, my wife gets hit on constantly by construction workers. You probably, when you're wearing an outfit going to a job, dudes are yelling at you from across the street and she gets scared. That stuff is slowly, surely going to change. That's great. But what's also going to happen is people are going to have to relearn how to talk to women. And I feel like men are already in this age, millennial men specifically, are accustomed to just texting and dealing with the phone. And then in person, it lacks. So now both sexes are missing out on something. Women are going to miss out on guys that are actually good guys that are assertive and direct because some of these men aren't able to develop those materials, if you will, those tools.
Yeah, those communication skills that are extremely important.
And women are going to expect a certain thing, and then when they're missing out on that thing that maybe they didn't even know they wanted, they're going to not understand why they're so unhappy or why they can't find someone. You talk to people in their 20s right now, they can't make shit work.
No.
They hate dating.
Yeah, they do. They like to text. They will sit across from a dinner table and text each other about it. Or they'll sit across from a dinner table and check in on Facebook and then take a picture for Instagram and, to look like they're having a great time, but they haven't said a word to each other.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's not only is it weird, but it's going to end up hurting you in the dating game because you're not going to understand. Like, I've talked to people before and they don't understand why I'm so direct. They don't take a minute to comprehend how I can go, why would you text all day? I don't understand. Like, why? Well, I'm right here. Like, why would you text? Or why would you do this? Or let me understand where you're coming from.
Right.
I was at a dinner. And now, granted, these people have a huge Instagram following and social media following. But I was at a dinner with them, and they just constantly can't stop with the posting. And I get it. I mean, if you're making money, that's fine. But that's not always a valid excuse. I'm doing this because this is how I make my living.
And
well,
for the majority of people, that is not why they're using
Instagram. I make my living by telling jokes. You know what I have to do? I have to actually get on a stage and do it. I'm not going to do it here at dinner.
Right.
Because, and granted, I guess you're getting paid technically to post the menu page or to fucking whatever you fucking do. That being said, with all the comments of sexual assault, sexual harassment and all this, my buddy Corey Feldman, he's not really my buddy, but whatever, I'll call him that, has jumped in. He has thrown his hat in the ring. Now, the issue I have with this is that Corey Feldman has constantly come out with, I was molested, which is terrible. Which happens a lot in the industry. I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
Young men, young women, especially kids, it's almost like the Catholic Church, to be quite frank, where people can hide out and get away with a lot of shit.
Oh, absolutely. They can bully each other in Hollywood.
Yep.
Because their career is on the line. And it's very easy for any of us to say, well, I wouldn't do that because I'm a strong person.
You don't
know. But when they're dangling your dream in front of your face, I'm not going to lie. I don't know what decisions I'd make.
Sure.
I don't know.
Like, it was Lux's dream to be on this show, and
I
didn't ask her to do anything.
I was like, who do I have to blow to be on the Broken Tail Dog?
She literally has done nothing. She has done so little.
That's why he hates me.
She won't even... No. You know, I've never slept with anybody based on like
work, on work
ever.
No, you shouldn't. It's smart.
No, I would never do that.
That's smart.
Now, don't get me wrong. Would I want to sleep with Lux? Yeah, I told my wife I would sleep with Lux. I would do it on a Tuesday, though. She's not a Saturday night person. She's not fun enough. She's a Tuesday.
I'm a Tuesday in bed person way more than I'm a Saturday night out and about person.
I know my audience. I know what I'm chasing.
I'm getting old, guys.
So Corey Feldman announced his most recent project in a video post on YouTube Wednesday. It's going to be a documentary about his life, because we don't really know about his life enough. And the sexual abuse he endured during his early years in Hollywood. So, you know, I have a weird feeling about this. It doesn't make me feel great, because in reality, like, he won't bark on the people that molested him. He fears for his life, apparently. But then he has, it's kind of conflicting, a little contradiction here, because now he's doing all this publicity, and he's announcing a project writing on the back of all these people's pain that are actually coming out against Harvey Weinstein or whoever it was in Hollywood or wherever that hurt them and assaulted them. So, I don't know how I feel about this. The dude has already talked about him being molested for years and years and years. He blew the whistle on Michael Jackson showing him inappropriate art photos of nudity or like, I guess Michael Jackson had a book, don't quote me, but this along the lines of he had a book of STDs and he, you know, as it on his coffee table and he showed him this when he was a young man. And I mean, he didn't say that Michael Jackson molested him, but he did say that Mike was inappropriate with him, but he continued to hang out with the guy. He even dresses up like him all the time. It's very weird. It's a very weird situation. That this is Corey weird. Feldman. So I don't know. I mean, I want to...
He's talked about it for so long, but has not named
anyone.
The name.
He only comes out with it whenever he has something he's plugging.
Right.
Which makes me think he has an agenda, which isn't cool.
Does he use it to stay relevant?
Yeah, that's what a lot of people are kind of doing that, I think. I mean, I think legitimately people have been hurt, and I understand that, but I also think there are some people that jump on the bandwagon to get some press.
And some of them wait until the statute of limitations on these things have just ended.
Sure.
So it's like they don't actually want that person maybe to pay the consequences.
Yeah.
Or they've let go of it or maybe even forgiven the situation. But they're going to use it. But right now it's trending.
Yeah.
You know, the assault is trending right now, unfortunately. I don't know.
Would you blow the whistle on someone who sexually assaulted you?
I want to say yes. If it was, yeah. I mean, I want to say if someone violated me to that extent, I don't mean... You know, saying, hey, you're hot or blah, 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 or maybe even like grabbing my ass. No, that's like I might slap them in the face. I'm not really blowing a whistle.
Yeah.
But if it was something major, I want to say yes, that I would. But I think until you're put in that position, you really don't know. You don't know what you would do.
It's weird because in this video that he posted, and you can go to Rolling Stone to check this out. He says, you know, this is a quote. Right off the bat, I can name six names. One of them who is still very powerful today. And a story that links all the way up to a studio. It connects pedophilia to one of the major studios. So this is what comes off to me as like a tease. Like he's baiting you into watching his documentary, but he's still not telling you he's going to tell who it is.
Right.
So what's the point here? I mean, if we're not... The whole point of these people coming forward in the beginning was to try to get this dude, Harvey Weinstein, out of power. And it was something that has been going on for 25 years already, 30 years almost, right? So if you're not talking about something to change and try to help the next person, I mean, I would think you would want to get these people out of power so some young actor, some kid, doesn't have to deal with this person. And next thing you know, they're molested too. I mean, that's the point.
And this has been going on for so many years. I mean, God knows who this person or these people, who else they've hurt, because he won't speak out about it.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, a little selfish, I think.
I mean, it's the... Totally selfish.
It is.
It's completely self-fulfilling. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Right. I
mean, it's one of those things where if you're not going to help me, why are you even talking about it?
Right. Do you think he's going to get the money for this startup to do his
documentary
and release the name of the person that it is?
Probably. I mean, he probably doesn't even have to release the name. I think someone would fork over whatever money it was to make a documentary if he was going to at least elaborate. But I doubt he's going to reveal the name because it's obvious this guy still wants to work. He's still holding on to working, even though the guy hasn't done anything substantial since the A&E Corey and Corey show they did. And even that was like pretty subpar. But then the guy died. Corey Haim died while doing it. So it made, you know, it got a lot of coverage.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't he say that, like, Corey Aim was also molested by this
person? Yeah, he does say that in the article, which I'm not surprised by. I mean, those guys were huge.
They were huge, and they were always together.
And they've even said that about, like, they've rumored that Michael Jackson was abused by somebody when he was a kid, which makes sense, because if that is the case, it usually repeats itself. You become very broken. I mean, that, to me, that is something that they should talk about, getting the death penalty for somebody. Maybe because I was sexually abused, that's something that I've, you know, I try not to talk about because it's, you know, a real downer. But it's one of those things that affects you forever. Affects you forever. It's not something that goes away. Your whole life is affected by it. Relationships, everything. It is brutal. And if you're going to make me live with something forever,
there needs
to be consequences. There has to be something for you that you have to live forever. Absolutely. Maybe your balls cut off. I mean, I'm an extreme guy. I'm by no means right wing or left wing, but I'm very extreme when it comes to corporal punishment. Because other people, because there's no street justice anymore. We've talked about this in the show. There's no more street justice, so no one fears consequence. I'm not saying jail's not tough. I would be petrified to go to prison.
Absolutely.
But I would be more petrified of losing my balls.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That being said. On to another predator. So.
Topic of the day.
I used to enjoy R. Kelly's music. I still do. There's some old songs I really like. I actually do like his hip opera. What was that? In the closet.
Yeah. That was great.
But I more thought it was funny.
It's very funny.
Now I'm all up in this closet. Now I'm all up in this closet. I did like Bump and Grind. I do like, what's that? The Ignition remix.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah.
The thing is,
he's got a lot of good music.
He made some good music. He has some good songs.
Yeah.
The thing is with R. Kelly, though, he has a severe problem. The guy loves underage women, and I'm going to call him a pedophile just because he's very much interested in 14, 15-year-old girls.
Yeah.
I think that's a little too young for a man 40.
And it's not a secret,
50, whatever. And it's not a secret. I mean, Aaliyah was very young when he got with her. I think he married her at 16. The woman in one of the women in the tapes that came out of him was allegedly 15.
Yes.
So the guy definitely has a type.
Right.
And he's also extremely sexual, which I don't have a problem with if it's with consensual people, okay? So he was in the news a few months back because he was alleged to have sex slaves. And all of the women that were involved with him, that were living with him, said that everything was all good. They were there on their own terms.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because no one ever called out Hugh Hefner for this.
Right.
And Hugh Hefner specifically hired women in a way, promised them things with his power, and with what came with it, to be his girlfriend. And people have been very public about this. A lot of his girlfriends have gone on Howard Stern. They've gone on different things and said, yeah, we had a responsibility. We couldn't date outside the relationship.
Yeah.
He provided everything. We'd have to have sex with Hef and watch.
Mm-hmm.
The other girls have sex with them, but usually it was only one or two of us that had to do it. Like, they were very open about once they got out of that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they signed an NDA. I don't think so, because they wouldn't be able to talk about it if they did.
But there was clearly an arrangement.
An arrangement.
And it was mutually beneficial.
Yes. So R. Kelly apparently, I don't know if he has the same arrangement with these women in a way where I would assume it has to be something similar, where he probably has a pretty lavish lifestyle. They are probably provided for. They live in the house, whatever. Mm-hmm. He, you know, and this was what was great, because I've been in situations where I've wanted, you know, that I've had like a polyamorous situation where I've had women that kind of are together as one. So we had one man. He kind of runs it like, if you ever read the book Pimp by Iceberg Slim, it's a very similar structure that he was doing with these women per the articles that came out that I read.
Okay.
So the articles that came out about his sex slaves, and I'm doing this because that's what they're calling him in the article. The way Iceberg Slim would structure his hoes, if you will, read the book Pimp. It's a very good book. Not from like a misogynistic perspective, but just from a human study. So he would have his bottom bitch, which we're all familiar with what that term means, bottom bitch, and she would get the other women in line. So very similar, R. Kelly has a main girl that is in charge of making sure the girls look a certain way, act a certain way, learn how to fuck a certain way for him, kind of get on board with whatever fetishes he has. It's basically running the girls to make sure everyone's on the same page.
Yeah.
Just brilliant. That's how you run any kind of organization. So that being said, Kitty Jones is coming out saying that she was abused by R. Kelly. The article on Rolling Stone is saying she had a dream of being an R&B idol. Of course she did. And in June 2011, R. Kelly just performed to a crowd at the Verizon Theater in Dallas. So she meets him here, I guess, and then they start to date. So when they start to date, okay. So she was into him. Okay. She was into him, loved what he did, was a total fan, taken by him, which I'm sure a lot of people are. The guy's really charismatic. He is a handsome dude, and he knows how to sing. So he's not lying in those songs when he's like, plus I'm handsome, I know how to sing, because I'm a flirt. Because I'll be flirting with you.
That's what he sounds like.
Yes, I'll be flirting with you. Going to be molesting you.
You sound like Flava Flav.
So they call him a manipulator. I mean, they really run this fucker through the ringer. He was indicted on child pornography charges and faced up to 15 years. Mm-hmm. Went to trial in 08, but found not guilty on 14 counts. Okay? So even though he has all this on his record, women still date him.
Right.
Just like women still fuck OJ, even though pretty sure he almost decapitated somebody. Like, he literally decapitated right. two people, basically. And people are still like, guy's probably all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's probably an all right dude.
Right. Well, the same with all these athletes that, you know.
Yeah, that they lay hands on somebody.
And
you're
right.
Like,
and their girls are still going to date him. Like Chris Brown. Perfect example.
Well, he just beats women up, right?
Yeah, but they still get with him. They still have his baby. They still, like, I mean. Know.
It's funny, right?
Oh, it's terrible.
So she says they met up. They were going to meet up. And all she had to do was get on a plane to meet up with him. They made an arrangement. She got there before him because he doesn't like to fly, apparently. He takes a bus. So wherever they were going, while he was en route, he was sending her racy photos. So what does racy photos mean to you?
Dick pics.
Dick pics. Okay. So her knock on the door. He brushed past me. I'm thinking we're going to hug or peck each other. But he plopped down on the couch and pulled out his penis and started pleasuring himself. This must be the ultimate pervert move. This must be like in the pervert handbook.
Apparently this is what they do. Chapter one.
I'm trying to think if I ever just started whipping my... There'd have to be there was always a lot of context before I would just start freely whipping out my penis and jacking it.
I feel like there should be a little bit of a buildup to that.
So I remember this guy, this ugly guy that I knew. He would always, because he was ugly, he would always talk about his dick. Because he said he had a big dick. So he would and whenever we'd be talking to guys, he would always bring up his dick. Because I think that was probably his only thing on him that women
would
like.
Right.
He was like a kind of a frumpy, ugly dude.
Yeah.
And he would say, man, it never fails. Whenever I'm like with a girl, if I don't think it's going anywhere, say we're getting close, if I just take out my dick, they see it and they want to fuck it.
No, that never happens. That never
happens. So maybe this is what some of these guys think, like, hey, if they see this magic dick.
No, we're completely aware that there's millions of penises out there that we could fuck.
You think?
Yeah. We're not like, oh, you know what? He sucks, but his penis is beautiful. That never happens.
Yeah, no one's... You know, I've heard men say, like, man, her ass is so great.
You've heard guys be like, oh, if you put a bag over her head, like, her body
so
is
mean.
Hot. It is
I would
mean.
Never put
I've
a
heard
bag
that,
over
though.
Somebody's head. I've
but it's like, oh, their body is, like, whatever.
I would bend you over, but I would never put a bag over I would never do that. I'm respectful.
But if a guy is ugly, we're not like, oh, but his penis.
If there's no attraction there.
If there's no, right. I mean, you could be ugly, but there can be chemistry and there can be other things going on. If there's nothing going on, whipping out your dick is not going to make anything better. It's going to make everything way worse.
Worse. And this is what's funny. She goes, the article says, Jones was stunned. Oh, you don't say. She was stunned.
Yeah.
But really, though, is she stunned? It's R. Kelly. Is she stunned?
Right.
We've all seen this guy peeing someone.
You know that there is a possibility when going to R. Kelly's house that he might just whip out his dick.
You would think that
and
would
be
like be
jump
prepared
on it,
for
bitch.
Anything.
Yeah, like.
So, should she leave? Say something? Proceed? She says, if this were a regular guy working at CVS.
There you go.
I would have been furious. But the combination of physical.
That's R. Kelly dick.
But the combination of physical attraction and the 2 months of courteous courtship, I guess for 2 months they were going back and forth, just made Jones put the incident in the back of my head. I was attracted to him and was just like, well, okay, fine. So it's probably worked so much. Women, why wouldn't he do this? See, here's the thing.
Because she's in the back of her head thinking, I'm going to be Miss R. Kelly. She's hearing cha-ching.
So this is what sucks, is that this guy is a, like, this is the thing. I don't blame, like, attractive women for being awful, like, personality-wise, because I understand even awful men that are attractive. I don't necessarily get mad at that anymore because I understand they're... It's almost the fault of the people around them, the society mm-hmm. they deal with, because they get so many things. Everyone laughs and thinks they're so funny. They're not. Right. Everyone tells them how fucking interesting they are. They're not.
No.
Because they want to try to get closer to them because they are... They're really attractive people,
mm-hmm.
right? This mm-hmm. guy's attractive, and he's a good singer, and he's super famous.
Right.
So if it probably the reason why he does is because he cuts to the chase. So yeah. is this an R. Kelly? I mean, obviously the guy has a problem, but is he just cutting to the chase? I mean, it worked. So why would he not keep doing this? It's probably worked a million times.
Right.
And 2 months are, hey, if he's courting her for 2 months, if he's texting her for 2 months,
yeah,
he's put some effort in.
Yeah.
He's invested a little bit.
Right, or his assistant has, anyway.
Someone has. He's relaying yeah. some message that's
absolutely.
Getting to her.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So she said I was attracted to him. I was just like, okay, fine. Maybe he just has weird ways of getting off. Why is that weird?
So far, there's nothing like illegal going on.
So far,
on here.
No.
It's, you know, is it my favorite? No.
No. But so
is
far,
it
I'm not
romantic?
Seeing
it. No. But there's nothing wrong.
Nothing wrong.
No. Absolutely not yet.
So he says she says the two had oral sex that weekend, with Kelly, according to Jones, saying things like, I gotta teach you how to be with me. So this falls in line with what these slave girls, like what everyone's saying about these slave girls, is that he has someone teach
right.
them how to be with him, which maybe right. the guy is really specific. Look, he's very specific. Okay, he's
yeah.
organized. And say stuff like, I gotta train you. And he was like a drill sergeant even when he was pleasuring me. So he gets mm-hmm. off on the control aspect. Like, he obviously has
right.
a certain tick, you
yeah.
know? He was telling me how to bend my back or move my leg here. The guy knows how to fuck. What he fucks a lot. He knows
right.
what he wants.
He has preferences.
And I'm like, why is he directing it like this? It was very uncomfortable. Okay.
Then why didn't you say,
stop. I don't like to be talked to during sex. Whatever.
Yeah.
But he tried to make me feel special about the trip. Like, if I didn't really like you, I wouldn't have done that. Stuff he would say. Or I wouldn't even be wasting my time flying you out. And I respect you. This is stuff he would be saying. Could be true.
Mm-hmm.
Jones and Kelly continue their romance, with Kelly, according to Jones, sending her flowers and gifts at work. So he's courting her. He likes to have sex a certain way. So far, I'm not seeing anything wrong with R. Kelly.
Right.
I've been divorced a couple years at that point. I was meeting some bad guys, but he made me feel better. He's not trying to hurry up and have sex. It was an escape for me. She was single, lonely, and her son was living in Europe with her ex-husband. Mm. All right. So let me see where it... Let me just skip ahead here. She quit her DJ job. They started hooking up. Basically they start to court each other for a few years.
So
this is just
her
so
quitting
convoluted.
Her job, was he supporting her or
I guess
something?
She went
or
to
I
go,
guess
man. So Jones had been living with Kelly for less than a month when she claims the first instance of physical abuse occurred. So they were living together.
Okay.
In November 2011. Jones says that on a trip to Dallas around Thanksgiving, she saw the video at the heart of his child pornography trial for the first time. And challenged Kelly on the phone about it. So, the guy's been acquitted. Here's the thing. It's like, if someone, like, I don't hide mm-hmm. that I'm married. I don't
right.
hide anything. It was like someone going, hey, well, you're married. Well, what are you talking about? Why do you, like, someone goes, why are you talking like this on the air? You're married. Well,
yeah.
no shit, I'm married. It's out there. Like, what are you talking?
Yeah.
You don't think I've already been through this already? Like,
right.
I've already taken the precautionary measures that my partner's
right.
comfortable with me being
yeah.
who I am?
Yeah.
And this is kind of a thing where... You move in with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's an extremely public world he lives in. Everyone's seen that video.
Yep.
That video has been around for 10 plus years. How
yep.
dare you? Oh, I just saw
now
the video.
Now just bring it up.
You knew
right.
the guy. It's everywhere.
Yes.
If you know his music, then you know that he was...
And his behaviors are not a secret.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
And she approaches him about it on the phone. And he says, bitch, don't you ever fucking accuse me of something like that. Which... I'm not saying it's a great response.
Right.
But I'm also not saying the sentiment's not, I mean, wrong. I mean, that must be annoying. You move in with me.
Yeah.
You take my money.
Right.
You take my gifts. You take my nice treatment. You act like we're equals in this relationship. Like, you want to be here. Like, you're into me.
Yeah.
Then you have the audacity, after already moving your shit in and taking all my gifts, of trying to call me out on some shit
right.
I'm acquitted of.
Yeah. I don't like this from years ago.
It's fucking stupid.
This now bothers me.
Yeah. He had never spoken to me like that before. You know what? I'm not saying anyone should be called a bitch or whatever. I think all things should be open dialogue in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But what? Why is that your approach?
Right.
If you already knew to look up the tape, then you already knew that he was accused of something.
Yes.
But you still manage to go on a fucking whole rendezvous with this guy for months and months and move in? All right. My chest was beating through my chest, she says. He turned into a monster. I blame myself because I was like, maybe I shouldn't have said anything. Well, I mean, how about you start the conversation if it's that big of a concern for you all of a sudden? Like, hey, I know I moved in and, you know, maybe I don't know if I rushed into it.
I have some concerns.
Yeah, but is this something that's for real? Like, I just want to know between you and I if this is something I have to worry about. That's an honest question.
Right.
That any real relationship, you should have the right to ask that question.
Absolutely. It's something that major, yeah.
As they drove home, Joan says she repeatedly apologized why Kelly kicked her multiple times and delivered a series of open hand slaps to her face. I was putting my hand over my face and telling him I was sorry. He would start kicking me, telling me I was a stupid bitch, and don't ever get in his business. Next day, Joan says the couple went shopping. Neither spoke about the incident. Okay. So, I come from a household where hitting a woman happened. This is what usually happens. The abuser usually loses their shit, does something awful, and then goes and buys a present.
Yes.
So, this guy's an abuser. All right. I get it. Enough said. He shouldn't be hitting anybody. If that's true, then he deserves to get whatever he gets.
Hitting somebody, yes.
It's obvious this guy does not treat women.
All the sexual stuff that went on, it seemed to be a mutual beneficial
true, but the catalyst situation. Is he wants control, and I think he's living a pimp's life when he's not. I mean,
right,
he's a performer, he's using his celebrity to live a life like he's a pimp, which is a really abusive situation and not okay. So
no.
I guess what I'm trying to say is all the signals are there. Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah.
So, ladies, if you know, I get it. If a man is wealthy, if he's powerful, if he's famous, if he speaks to you through his art, I get it. Just say I was dying to fuck this guy because I love his persona
and only fuck him for that.
Yeah, don't try to make a fish not swim. I mean, this guy is
right.
His track record with women is awful. There's not one thing in his history that you could point at and go, well, he's a good guy,
right? If I'm gonna fuck a celebrity, it's gonna be because I want to, because they're hot or because they're famous. It's not my thing, but
yeah.
It'd probably be more so because they're hot and I had a great story. But it's not because of money or because they're, you know, a really great person, or it's gonna be like, wham bam, thank you, sir or ma'am. Like that's it. And then I'm out with that story. I'm gonna be like, guess who I did last night? Let's not make this romantic and get weird and get caught up in your freaking headlines.
Oh, man. Oh, my God.
Celebrities, watch out for me.
Speaking of celebrities, I want to fuck. I read this really cool article about Sade. I love Sade.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sade is one of the most beautiful women that has ever existed.
Beautiful.
And not just because of the way she looks, but what she exudes, the song she writes. Oh, if you don't know who Sade is, you're going to hear it at the end of the show. I'm going to play it for you. But, you know, Your Love Is King, Smooth Operator.
Oh, I love Smooth Operator.
I love some Sade.
She's just a natural, beautiful queen.
And she's like Nigerian and white or European or something. I gotta look that up. She's fucking unbelievable looking. And especially when she was young, she had like this really great curve to her, but also her bone structure was like like royalty.
Her facial
skin
structure
was perfect. Just beautiful long hair. I mean, Sade is the epitome of exotic. It's everything that the world wants to be. It's diverse. It's like a combination of everything. It's all
it
the best parts of all the continents wrapped into one.
Yeah.
That being said, I'm reading this New York Times article where a tattoo shop in Brooklyn got a bad review on Yelp. And I thought this was funny because obviously Lux spends a lot of time in tattoo chairs. A customer was angry, not about his ink, but about the soundtrack that accompanied his trip there. Why are you playing Sade, he wrote. And he cussed. This music he found fit for a plastic surgeon's waiting room, not a cool tattoo parlor. So the article is basically about how great Sade is. Her real name's Helen Adu. And the thing about it is,
And how everyone loves her.
Now everyone loves her, but also it's not out of the loop music now because DJs are taking her music and putting it, you know, like everyone loves EDM now. So right. They're taking Sade music and adjusting it to fit
the now.
The now.
Absolutely.
It's unbelievable.
She was ahead of her time to begin with, but they're mixing her music into all kinds of music that's being played today. And it's not weird to hear that in a tattoo shop.
No.
I don't know who this person is. Don't you just want to punch them in the face?
What do they want? What do they want?
Why are they so close-minded?
They want fucking, they want a Metallica playing
because
they're getting
tatted.
They
want heavy death metal playing in the tattoo shop because, I don't know, I can't name one metal band and I have a shit ton of tattoos.
So the owner of the bar, it's called East River Tattoo, fired back on IG and was like, he posted a screenshot of the Yelp review beside a caption that said, "Proud to be shattering your expectations of what a tattoo shop should be. Every day of the week." So obviously this guy loves Sade.
Yeah, good for him.
All it says is your understanding of the world and what's happening in it is, shall we say, limited. Sade is one of the most relentless... I'm reading the article now. That was not the guy. Sade is one of the most relentlessly quiet famous people on the planet, but in her extended silences, her place in the Pantheon, I'm reading like I'm from Detroit. The Pantheon of cultural influence has only grown more enormous. I mean... Sade is the best.
She is.
Sade is unbelievable.
I want to hear her music anywhere and everywhere.
Seriously.
I've heard it while shopping at ShopRite, and I just stopped everything.
You were ShopRiting?
I was ShopRiting, and I was like, stop everything. I'm dancing right now.
So the article goes on to just kind of show you where her influences are at. They show Kanye West wearing a Sade shirt from one of her tours. They show...
Drake has a tattoo of Sade.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, damn.
So she's very current.
Yeah, very much so. Big influence on every music today.
Man, I would love to make love to Sade. I was in Vegas years and years ago. I was 21.
Mm-hmm.
Weird looking. Still awkward looking. Very, very awkward looking. Now I'm just very comfortable in my awkwardness. But then not so much.
Uh-huh.
This woman. Fuck. I was in I totally forgot the name of this. The beach house. It was some off the strip,
okay,
bar club type thing, two stories, and they would do these, like, it would stop. They would have all this music, and then they would stop the music and have a performance, and they would have the sexy girl bartender go up and take one of the crowd members and dance on them or do something weird.
Okay,
then they would have this dude. He was like an Asian white guy mix. It was a hybrid.
Okay,
and he was swole. He was so ripped, and he was wearing little. Like go-go shorts or whatever, but he was like shirtless, obviously, and he was doing his thing up there, and he brought this woman up, and this woman looked exactly like Sade, but built like a brick shithouse, like double D's, big butt, flat stomach,
damn,
but looked just like Sade. I was in love. I was watching from afar alone because I'm always alone. I'm always like in some weird corner because I had to go. The people I was with, they didn't want to go out, so I went out. It was my last night, so I just went by myself to this bar.
Right.
The guy gets this woman on stage. He took out a baguette, like a, you know, one of those big roll, like bread rolls. Probably got a good 9-inch bread roll, fat around. And he put it like it was his penis. And the joke was like, you know, suck this bread thing. It was like a thing you would do at like a bachelorette party. Like, you know how like it's kind of like sexual innuendo games in front of a bunch of people that's supposed to make you embarrassed.
Right. I would hate this, but I would like to, but watching it would be amusing.
So this woman deep throats this baguette.
Oh my God.
And it was one, I fell in love. I was so smitten with her. I mean,
yeah, that
I was
has
sweating.
To be something to see.
I was sweating because not only was I already into her physically, but watching her just like let go and go for it. I mean, she went for it.
Yeah.
And people were going nuts. And she had this big diamond on her finger.
Okay.
And I don't know how this happened, but some like vagabond, weird Mexican dude was next to me. And he was another guy alone, but it seemed like he'd been alone for a while. Like he was probably in his late 40s. And he looked at me and he's like, man, look. Like he had this really strong Mexican accent, like West Coast Mexican accent. He's like, she got a ring on, man. She got a man. I wonder who married her. Whoever made her lucky, man. I go, yeah.
Whoever married her is lucky.
I go, you are right. So for about an hour that night, after everything was said and done and the music starts and everything, and I can't take my eyes off this woman. I'm not necessarily being creepy. I'm just trying to build up the courage to talk to her. She's probably 30 at the time. She's probably like a 28-year-old woman.
Okay.
She's older than me. And she's with some other girls, blonde girls, very attractive. So finally, I just say, fuck it. I'm going to go fucking talk to this woman.
Uh-huh.
I build up all my courage. For those of you that don't know about courage when you're talking to people in public, that's what it takes, courage. Not texting. I walk down to this woman. Takes a lot of courage. I walk down to this woman.
Mm-hmm.
Very awkward. I even wrote a joke about it. Very awkward. I'm like, excuse me. Can I buy you a drink? I've never seen eyes that said fuck off more than this woman's
wow.
eyes. Her face, it was like I brought a sack of shit and said, hey, can you hold this 10, 15 minutes? Look me up and down. I never felt so small. Now, this is me projecting. I mean, it is what it is. People say no. And she goes, no, thank you. And turns around.
Oh.
I was still heartbroken.
Yeah.
But every girl I'd fucked after that, it was for you, Sade. You want to say no to me? I'm a champ. The champ's here.
At least it wasn't Sade. It was just a girl who looked like her.
I guarantee you, now, I got more going on than that woman. There's no way I am not a better catch than that woman now. That woman should crawl to me from Vegas. If you hear that, lady, you know who you are. I think it was like 2002 or something.
I wish you could have a reunion.
2003.
You need a reunion.
I got to find this broad. All right. Luxie, plug where you're at.
You can find me on Instagram, LuxSuicide on Instagram, one word, and Patreon.com/LuxSuicide.
Yeah, she's doing
all
some
the not
real
safe for work
sexy
goodies.
Shit, man. God.
Yeah,
I don't even have access to the Patreon. Pay, whatever it's called. I got no access. At Josh Cardo, JOSHACCARDO on all social media. And follow the show at Broken Tailed. We have so much that's
Subscribe.
About to pop. I mean, by
Subscribe.
The end of the year, we're going to be on fire. We're already moving and grooving. It's only our third show. So make sure you do that. And we appreciate all of you listening. And we will talk to you next week. And watch how you play.